And Senate bills.
Senate Bill 45, an act to authorize the governor to enter into a multi-state compact for the development, implementation, and administration of a simplified sales and use tax collection system.
Senate Bill 45, having had its second reading, is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Paisley.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Bill 45 addresses the whole concept of the sales tax within an electronic environment. Most of you, I think, attended this, at least one of the orientation sessions that has taken place, particularly the one in early December prior to the budget message. And so you've been exposed to the kind of expansiveness of the tax-free internet sales and the threat that is posed to the flow of revenues to the states because of anticipated internet sales. I think all of you are familiar with the congressional action that has taken place over the last few years. You know that there is a three-year moratorium placed by the federal Congress on the placement of any taxes on electronic commerce. You're probably familiar too with the fact that a study commission has been established and is at work that is dealing with the issue. And you're familiar with the court cases that have existed in years past that have dealt particularly with mail order sales. This bill represents more than anything else a fighting back, not only by government units, but certainly by individual, the brick and mortar businesses, the traditional type of businesses that would be mostly impacted by the internet sales. The title of the bill, I think, explains to a great part just exactly what it does. This is an act that would authorize the governor to enter into a multi-state compact for the development, the implementation, and the administration of a simplified sales and use tax collection system. This, in a sense, reflects a monumental change in the way conceivably that we may be called upon to do business in the area of sales tax revenues in the years to come. In Section 1, the bill goes on to say that this compact, which at this point has drawn in about 14 states and which hopefully will eventually involve all 46 states that have sales tax, but this compact shall provide for the collection, the reporting, the auditing, and the distribution of taxes imposed under Chapters 1045, which is the sales tax, and 1046, which is the use tax. It goes on then to say something that's probably the most important part of this whole movement. The compact shall provide for the joint selection of persons to act as agents of the compact states for the collection and remittance of taxes imposed under the chapters 1045 and 1046. If this strikes you in any way as being some kind of a monumental change, it's because it is exactly that. The persons to act as agents have been identified in our previous exposures as the trusted third parties. You've heard this phrase bandied about without perhaps knowing exactly what it is, but a trusted third party is, in a sense, a software company that will act as an intermediary between the purchaser, the governmental body, and the vendor of the goods or services that are involved in this internet, internet commerce. One of the arguments that has been used by the internet industries is that they have no obligation to serve as tax collectors for any of the individual states. They are not compelled to do this, and the courts have upheld that that position. What, in effect, a trusted third party would do would be the intermediary that would handle the entire transaction and would, in a sense, be the tax collector. So the vendor, who has been supported by court decisions that say that he doesn't have to collect the taxes, wouldn't be collecting the taxes. Instead, it would all be handled through the trusted third party, a secondary agent. For right now, this whole thing would be devised pretty much to deal with internet sales and catalog sales, any of the remote sales, but it certainly is anticipated that in the future, perhaps all sales taxes, all the ones that we are traditionally familiar with now, would also fall under the aegis of the trusted third party. Section 2 simply says that the governor can enter into this joint contract with a trusted third party. Section 3 says that exempt parties from the sales tax can have their names released to this trusted third party. And Section 4 guarantees that whatever decisions these compacts would eventually make would require the ratification by this legislature. This whole move is really one in which the same technological magic that allows you to sit in your living room and order goods and services from any place in the country will be utilized to devise a system that will allow a remote tax collection system to accompany it. The idea has come largely from a consortium of interests, starting with the National Council of State Legislatures and the Governor's Conference, with the idea that a great number of states will become a part of it, and this is the first step to, in that particular direction. It authorizes nothing other than a participation in the early deliberations, and it's something I think that is important not only for the state to get involved in, but it's important for each of us to know so we can have some response to the question as just what should South Dakota be doing in defense of the sales tax, which is certainly in a jeopardy because of these remote sales. It's a good bill. I think it's a very well thought out bill that needs legs underneath it so it can continue on and the state can be a participant in a much larger body of states to answer to a question that certainly affects this entire nation. I seek your support and thank you, Madam President.
Further remarks?
Madam President?
Senator Staggers.
Yes, in response to Senate Bill 45, I would hope that we would cut the legs under this bill. Very simply, this bill is a bill that consumers should be against. This is just another way to find a way to tax the citizens of South Dakota. In recent months, the advocates of taxing the internet have been trying to create a crisis situation. Led by the National Governors Association, the advocates for taxing the internet have arguments that if you listen to all of them, you would think that the state governments would not have enough money to operate if they didn't tax the internet. It's ironic that today, states across the country have billions of dollars in surplus. They're trying to figure out how to spend it or maybe give some of it back to its citizens. Senate Bill 45 is the first major step to tax South Dakotans by way of the internet. Besides taxing South Dakotans, Senate Bill 45 would threaten the privacy of South Dakotans. A main concept in taxing the internet is to have computers tracking our purchases in order to tax us. Needless to say, we'll have databases created on all of our purchases. Because of the Big Brother implications of Senate Bill 45 and increased taxation on South Dakotans, I would urge the Senate to vote against this bill. Thank you.
Madam President.
Further remarks, Senator Rounds.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, I would rise in disagreement with my friend Senator Staggers. First of all, I think that anybody who is pro-income tax would hate this bill. This bill is the best example of a way to spread a tax over the largest group of people with the lowest rates possible. Let me give you an example. Did you know that if we were able to tax all the catalog sales to be able to do it appropriately, legally, the way we can right now, if we can find a way to tax not only the sales, but also the use of the item, which is legal under South Dakota law today, if we could just find a way mechanically to get it done, we could actually look at lowering the sales tax rate within this state, which is really the goal of most of us, which is to reduce tax rates. If you had an opportunity to take a larger gross, in other words, look at more items to tax, and you could reduce the rate on everything, collect approximately the same amount of money, it means that there would be a lower burden on those people paying the tax on a particular item. There is nothing within this bill that increases a tax rate. There is nothing in this bill which taxes access to the internet. There is nothing in this bill that taxes telecommunications. What it says is that those items that are legally taxable right now, that's right, legally taxable right now, we would find a way to efficiently collect the taxes on. Right now, the people that collect the taxes for us are the people that are on Main Street in South Dakota. They're the people that live right here. They collect the tax for the state of South Dakota when we walk in and we purchase something from them. But if we go out of state to buy something, we make a phone call to someone that does not have nexus within the state, then that person that we buy the product from out of state doesn't have to collect the tax from us. Do we still owe the use tax on the item if we bring it back and put it into effect in South Dakota? Yes, we do. Does anybody pay that tax right now? As I understand it, a few people in the Department of Revenue do because they know what the law is. But other than that, I'd be willing to bet that nobody in here does. What this says is that this is nothing more than a more efficient way to collect the tax which is already due. Well, if you can collect it on more items, you don't have to have as high a rate as what you have today. A 4-cent state sales tax might very well be reducible to 3.5 cents, and you'll collect the same amount of money. Well, that intrigues me. I think that should be the goal of any legislator in here, is to find a way to reduce the rate of taxation. We're all in favor of that. The folks who wouldn't be in favor of it are the ones who would like to see the sales tax damaged, diminished, put in peril, so that an income tax could be imposed. I would suggest to you that this is an excellent way to make the sales tax stronger, so we don't have to have an income tax within this state. Now, is once again, any tax, any new tax imposed? No, there is not. All we're doing is making it more efficient and allowing the governor, through our action here, to participate with other states to find a more efficient way to work with the internet sales people so they have a mechanically sound way of collecting the tax and know how much to collect. Right now, one of the biggest problems we've got is that you might be in New York City getting an internet request for taxation or an internet request for purchasing an item that's going to be put to use in South Dakota. How do you know how much sales tax to collect from somebody who lives in Pierre or in Fort Pierre or who doesn't live in either one of the two communities and there's no sales tax on the municipality involved? What this compact does is allow us to work with a third party to provider to promote a smooth and efficient way to determine what taxes due and to make it workable for those people that are selling products over the internet. That's what the tax does. I ask for your sound approval of this measure. Thank you.
Madam President.
Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to make two additional points to what Senator Round said. First one is, it's an issue of fairness. The people who fund your after-prom parties, who put up your community posters, who participate in your Kiwanis meetings and other meetings, live on Main Street. They have brick-and-mortar buildings. They pay the sales tax. People on the internet do not. That's an issue of fairness. The second issue is, if the McCain bill, and as we know, John McCain is running for president, if the McCain bill passes in the legislature, the federal Congress, then what will happen is no internet sales will be taxed. And that wipes out the term that Senator Rounds used. That's no sale. That wipes out our nexus. So if you sit in your home, you're here in Pierre, and you order over the internet groceries at Dakota Mart or items at Walmart, you can order them over the internet, go physically to that site, and not pay sales tax. That destroys the entire sales tax system, regardless of whether or not you have nexus. In committee, we were told that we're looking at a $54 million hit to the sales tax by 2004. About $4 million of that was catalog sales, about $50 million of that was internet. That's assuming the McCain bill doesn't pass. If the McCain bill passes, then the only thing that you could collect sales tax on would be the purchases that somebody actually physically went to that location and bought. But if you stayed at home and had your computer, I live in Mitchell, do my shopping in Mitchell, But if I do it all from that terminal and then run around town and pick that stuff up, I don't pay sales tax. Now, we can argue about taxes all we want, but somebody paves the roads. Somebody cleans the roads. Somebody builds the prisons. Somebody staffs the prisons. There are many functions in state government that, regardless of what members may think, cannot go away in a civilized society. We cannot, I don't know about you, I can't afford to run my own prison. I can't afford to pave and clean my own road. I need all of you to help me do that. That is what our society is based on, and to do that, we need public revenue. And if we want to bankrupt the state of South Dakota, then you get on the bandwagon that says, we don't want to tax anything. That's what the McCain bill says. Because anything over the internet, regardless if you had Nexus or not, would not be taxed. That is not a situation we can be in. This is a concept we need to explore. This is authorization we must give the governor. And I would urge you, for all of the reasons that Senator Paisley outlined and Senator Rounds outlined, to vote for the bill.
President?
Further remarks. Senator Lang.
Thank you, Madam President. I have a question for the sponsor of the bill.
State your question.
Question is, if we pass this, does this include out-of-state catalog sales as well, or how do we deal with that question?
Senator Paisley, do you choose to respond?
Thank you, Madam President. Yeah, we were a little premature, but as we pass this, we're not passing a comprehensive program. We're passing the authorization that allows the state to become part of a deliberation that would create a program. But I'm sure what you meant is, if all of this fell into place, would it include catalog sales? And the answer to that is yes, very specifically so. It would take care of really any of the remote sales. So any purchases that were made by the people of South Dakota would be equally subjected to a uniform type of sales tax.
Senator Paisley, would you guess that most South Dakotans are ignorant of the fact that they must pay a use tax whenever they buy anything out of state where they have not paid the sales tax?
Senator Paisley.
Thank you, Madam President. I think that's a mix. A lot of them are ignorant of the fact that they have to. The rest of the people are conscious of the fact that they have to, but also aware of the fact that the enforcement of the use tax is virtually an impossibility.
Thank you, Senator Paisley. Well, this gets exactly to the point. A law that is unenforceable is bad law. Wouldn't you agree with that basic concept?
Senator Paisley.
If you're directing that to me, I would say yes, and because that is true, this is a solution that could respond very well to the lack of enforcement that currently exists.
Senator Lang, you have the floor.
I wouldn't be true to myself if I didn't talk a little bit about tax structure, even on a Friday. I wish it weren't Friday. But Senator Rounds, I've lived in states where there are income tax and it doesn't hurt a bit. If you've got the income, you pay it. If you don't, you don't. I have farmer friends who paid 100% income tax in those wet years. Everything they gained on the farm went to pay their real estate taxes, $12,000 in the case of one friend of mine over by Del Rapids. And so when you talk income tax or any kind of tax, they're all income taxes. Where do you get the money except out of an income, for heaven's sakes? So the question is fairness, the question is enforceable. You can't enforce this. We've known that for a long time, and it's time we re-studied and took a hard look at our tax structure and where we're going with it. I think we're getting ourselves into a real mess by over-reliance on sales taxes, and that's what NCSL pointed out at our annual meeting in December, that South Dakota was right up on top as the most threatened state because of e-commerce. And I don't know if this is going to help or not, but I warn you that we're getting ourselves into more trouble if we think we can force the federal government to give us our share of sales taxes. Thank you, Madam President.
Further remarks, Senator Moore.
Thank you, Madam President, ladies and gentlemen of the body. I'm going to be real brief today, but understand that this bill only gives the governor the authority to negotiate with other states as it relates to forging a compact as it relates to e-commerce, number one. Number two, the thing that we have to remember is the governor can go and negotiate these things. He can bring a proposal forward to us. This is not a bill that becomes law. It's not a tax increase. We need to remember that anything that the governor may or may not agree to has to be ratified by this legislative body. So we're not talking about a tax increase. We don't even know if we're going to be able to tax the internet. All we're asking is to allow state officials to negotiate with other states to see if there's a way that we can possibly preserve the tax structure that we have in place today. That's all it does. It simply lets the state negotiate, and we as a body, the House as a body, are going to have final say in whatever negotiations are decided upon. So there's no fear in this bill today. We, as legislators, will ratify it. If we don't like it, we simply won't ratify it. It's as simple as that. There are no boogeymen in this bill. I would urge support of this bill today. Thank you.
Further remarks, Senator Frederick.
Thank you, Madam President. Question for Senator Lang.
State your question.
Would you agree that our tax structure is too regressive, it contains too many taxes, contains too many exemptions, it's not adaptable to our shifting economy, lacks sufficient revenue-producing capability for local governments, uses tax appeals processes that are unfair or inequitable, and that we need a constitutional method of funding education? Would you agree with that?
Senator Lang, you choose to respond.
As far as I heard it, it doesn't sound too bad to me, no.
Okay, would you agree that just about every state has a more progressive tax system than South Dakota, including states of, let's say, Minnesota, New York, and West Virginia?
Right. Senator Lang.
Right, that's the evidence that I get from my organization in Washington.
And you would suggest that we have another tax study to prove this?
No, I don't think that's necessary.
Okay. The reason I bring that up is I just read from the West Virginia Governor's Commission on Fair Taxation. I'd almost contend that some of these consulting companies do is go from state to state and sell the same report, put a different cover on it, and come up with the same findings from state to state. And that's not a shot at you. Please don't take it that way.
No,
Senator. And the point is, getting away from that, let's get back to the Senate Bill 45. But I couldn't resist. Senator Rounds did suggest that this could be that the defeat of this bill or the defeat of the collection of the sales and use tax could lead to some type of an income tax. I am the South Dakota State Senate representative to the Federal Budget and Taxation Committee for the National Conference of State Legislatures. They have been cautioning us about sales and use tax and e-commerce for a long time. And Senator Rounds need not have this just as his own opinion, but the experts in the field say not only would this lead to an income tax, that it would probably lead to the exclusion of a corporate income tax and leave only a personal income tax. And they had very good logic for this. As you look through the processes of reduced sales tax revenues, that means our businesses in state are doing less business. That means our Main Street businesses are hurting. That means what point would there be in putting an income tax on the very industry that is seeing suffering? So it does make sense, and when Senator Rounds says that this could lead to an income tax to its logical conclusion and in its extremities, that is not a personal opinion. That is backed up by experts in the field. Thank you.
Further remarks.
Senator, excuse me, if I could just make a very brief response to Senator Frederick. On the issue of whether we need another tax study, last summer I did propose that we take a look at how much is leaving our state from places like Dakota Dunes, We have people down there who pay an income tax in Iowa. They would rather pay that tax here in South Dakota. The last time I checked, there was 3.2 million that South Dakotans were paying an income tax because they work in Sioux City or across in Iowa. And we get nothing back. We have no way of getting back at Iowa for that kind of contribution. Same is true in Minnesota. And my proposal was that we need a cross-border tax study to see where the losses are, where the gains are, and to come to some realization that we're out of sync with surrounding states and that's hurting us. So I would submit that we do need that kind of a tax study. Thank you, Madam
President.
Further
remarks, Senator Bitter.
Thank you, Madam President. Ladies and gentlemen of the Senate, as a former mayor, when you look at your budget and you look down what you're going to do in the years to come, in second and third class municipalities, probably you look at your sales tax, where that growth is. It's the most resistant thing in your budget to approve that you know if your sales tax is increasing. In the Hill City, we've been in double digits for 8 years now. What you do if you reduce that and you allow the internet to start taking away from these sales tax, we're going to have to come to peer. Every municipality will lose local control, and they'll have to come to a centralized government situation to appeal and ask for a budget and money from the state. I am totally for local control because that you don't have to fool with. We do that on a local level, and that's what South Dakota is. If we differ from other states, God bless us, because we can increase sales tax without having some kind of argument against peer against Hill City. We can do that. So I urge, and that's why I'm going to support Senate Bill 45. It makes good local control sense.
Madam President.
Further remarks.
Madam President.
Senator Flowers.
I call the question.
The question's been called. Those in favor of calling the question say aye. Those opposed, nay. The question's been called. The question before the Senate is final consideration of Senate Bill 45. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers. Senator Benson? Aye. Senator Bogue?
No.
Senator Brose?
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Dugard?
Aye.
Dennert?
Aye.
Drake?
Aye.
Dunjim?
Aye.
Dunn-Rebecca?
Aye.
Duxbury?
Aye.
Everest?
Aye.
Flowers? Frederick?
Aye.
Hangey?
Aye.
Halverson?
Aye.
Ham?
Aye.
Hutmacher?
Aye.
Cleven?
Aye.
Klocek?
Aye.
Lang?
Aye.
Lawler?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
Moore?
Aye.
Munson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Paisley?
Aye.
Reedy?
Aye.
Rounds?
Aye.
Schoner?
Aye.
Staggers?
No.
Simmons?
Aye.
Belandra?
Aye.
Vitter?
Aye.
Whiting? Madam President, ayes 33, nays 2.
Senate Bill 45 has received a majority vote of the members elect and is declared passed. Are there any questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.